This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Well, that sucks. A weird late goal by the Vegas Golden Knights beats the Flames late again. Man, sometimes I wish Vegas would have just never got a franchise. Good evening. Welcome to Flames Unfiltered, episode number 47. Recorded on a Sunday evening, March 8th, 2020. A Sunday evening of hockey for the Flames and a loss for the Flames, which isn't really great news. I don't know how all you guys are doing with this time change. I'm not doing real well with it. I don't like losing an hour to my weekend. Threw me off all day. Sunday was just a mess for me. But I have no control over that. I did not hate the effort tonight by the Flames. I don't know how all the listeners feel. I didn't hate it. But you know, you would think with all this team has went through this year, with the Bill Peters, the TJ Brody, just the silliness of this team's had to deal with, you'd think the hockey gods would throw them a bone tonight and not have that silly, goofy tip that would happen one time out of a thousand go in with a minute to go. Crazy. I like the effort tonight with the resilience, the Flames coming back, but damn, it's frustrating and it's sad. It's not the end of the world, Flames fans. Come on. Vegas was a better team tonight. We got beat by a hockey team that is better than the Flames. Now, I'm not saying that should be okay and then we should be happy about that, because should Vegas be better than the Flames? I don't know. But we're not going to get our points in every game down the stretch here, but we have to maximize those points and get as many as we possibly can down the stretch. You're not going to win every single game, and I'm not throwing excuses out for tonight, but you know what, honestly, like, let's get serious. If we'd have been sitting here talking on a late Sunday evening and the Flames would have got 2 points versus Vegas tonight, I think most of my listeners would be surprised. I would have been. Now, I'm not saying that when I turned on the game tonight that I thought that it was a guaranteed loss for the Flames or anything like that. By no means do I think that. Seriously, like, it wasn't like we were playing, you know, LA tonight where it's a game we should win and lose. We're playing Vegas, probably one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League right now. So I don't know. We'll take it for what it is. I thought we played all right. I like some things tonight. I didn't like some things tonight. I know one thing I don't like is the schedule right now, because now we don't play till Thursday at home against the Islanders, and I hate that time in between, even though it will help the Flames because we're going to need a little break here. Players can rest some injuries. I know tomorrow's a day off for the Flames, and then they'll get back at it Tuesday with a couple of good solid days of practice, and this team needs that and almost needs a break as they prepare for this stretch that's going to be a month long of playoff games. Quite honestly, that's the way it's going to be. On the episode tonight, we're going to recap the win versus Vegas on Friday evening and talk a lot about the loss to Vegas tonight. And then we'll roll into some talk on the resurgence of the first line at the most critical time of the year. And then we'll look at odds. Odds of the Flames making the playoffs. And better yet, odds of the Flames winning the Stanley Cup. And it's time to roll through and talk some Flames news, Harvey's Doghouse, a fan question, and then we'll wrap with some news on the coronavirus and an update with that, and a look at the Western Conference playoff race, which, man oh man, on a nightly basis, goes wild every single night.
The Hockey Podcast Network, which Flames Unfiltered is very proud to be a part of, has a great podcast called Ice Analytics. It's a deep dive into hockey analytics, statistical analysis, and how it affects your favorite team. Standings, trades, signings, it's all on Ice Analytics on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Every team, everywhere, the hockey Podcast Network.
All right, Flames fans, it's time to recap two games of hockey on this weekend, which I'm going to bitch for a second here. I had Saturday night free. I know junior hockey. My wife was out of town with my girls for gymnastics, and I had a quiet night to watch Hockey Night in Canada. No interruptions. And it was honestly the worst lineup ever on Hockey Night in Canada last night. I had no excitement level, and I was frustrated with that. But let's talk Friday night's game between Arizona and Calgary, which ended with a 3-2 Calgary win. And you know what? Another game that didn't start out like we wanted it to. Well, minute 11 in, Taylor Hall scores. Short side on Talbot, not a good goal for Cam Talbot let in. And we're like, I'm thinking, you know, just when are we going to have a game where we feel like our goaltenders did everything on every play? And I don't know. It's kind of plaguing this team lately. Then Gaudreau misses on a power play. It wasn't a power play. We had an extra attacker out. Gaudreau misses an open net when he can't control the shot. And they do score on the power play just minutes later when Gaudreau does score. 1-1 is 18th of the year, and Gaudreau has been rolling good, and we're happy with that. Then TJ Brody gets on the board again, third game in a row, his fourth of the year. That was at the 6:35 mark. And going into the first intermission, Calgary is winning, and that's great news against a team that we have to beat. They're below us in the standings. They're within reach. You have to beat Arizona. Super, super critical game. You know, we talked about, in previewing this game, we talked about how we expected it to be a defensive-orientated game, much like that Columbus game, where Calgary just didn't look like they played very well. But, you know, most of it was probably the opponent we played against. First period was kind of wide open, and we did not expect that. And I don't know. Then early in the second period, Forbert saves a goal on the goal line. It was absolutely crazy. And Gustafson actually got a stick in there, too. And that was crazy. Then Backlund scores to make it 3-1 at the 4:17 mark. And the Flames are rolling. Backlund's just been amazing, amazing lately. He did follow it up minutes later with a horrible turnover that led to a goal by Carl Soderberg, his 17th of the year. It's 3-2. Arizona did put on quite a bit of pressure late in the third period and kind of controlled play, which scared me a little bit going into the third period. The third period went with no scoring. Interesting period. Gustafson was my favorite part. I wrote this in my notes to talk about this because I thought it was hilarious. But Gustafson fans on a shot in the slot and basically passes it to himself and then fires it off the post. And you could see he was laughing about it too. He had a good laugh. And I was talking with one of my buddies and I'm like, God, is that like an assist for him if he passes it to himself? Hilarious, hilarious play. Nothing fancy in the third period from the Flames. I liked it. It was a good, solid win. 3-2. First line looked very, very good for the Flames, which is critical. And you know what? This is a game you had to win if you're the Flames because you have to win against teams that are below you in the standings. You just have to. It's points that the Flames could not afford to let slide by. Then Saturday night off, like I talked about, a boring night of hockey, and we roll into Sunday evening, a 5:00 start from the Saddle Dome, Riddick versus Lehner in net, and let's talk about that first. I am not blaming the loss in this game to David Riddick at all. But why the hell are we starting David Riddick? A goalie who struggled of late. We're 3 points within Vegas for a first place in the Pacific. We're also within points of falling out of a playoff race, or excuse me, a playoff spot. And we go with a goalie that hasn't played well when we have a goalie sitting on the bench that's won 3 games in a row and looked very, very good. I'm not happy with it. I don't think it's a good decision. I'm not sure what Jeff Ward is thinking, but I can tell you probably what it is. And I think this is a Flames management issue. I think they want, I don't think there's any secret to it. I think the Calgary Flames want David Rittich to be the starter. He signed for next year. He's their guy. And I think they thought tonight would be a game that if the Flames could somehow find a way to win, this would right the ship for David Rittich, give him the confidence he needs to get on a roll late in the season and go from there. Now, I'm not saying I don't want David Rittich to be good, and I'm not saying that I don't want David Rittich to be our starter, because I do. Actually, I'm pro David Rittich, but I'm also pro making the damn playoffs. And again, I'm not blaming tonight's loss on David Rittich. But when you have a goalie that's been hot like Cam Talbot is, where he wins three in a row, one of them a shutout, and we're not going to him on a non-back-to-back, why? I think this needs to be discussed and thought about a little bit more, and I'll be interested to see where they go on Thursday night. Vegas, all Vegas in the first period. Let's get back to the game. I'm sorry. No six scores his eighth. Holden his sixth. First period, 2-0. Vegas. There was a goal by the Flames, though. And this is my topic of conversation in my notes from the game tonight. Backlund scores to make it 2-1. It's challenged by Vegas that Backlund pushed Lehner. The goal was disallowed after review. And my question on that is, Lehner is out of the crease to make the save. He lunges forward. He pushes into Backlund as much as Backlund pushes into him. I'm all for protecting goalies, but when goalies are making contact with players outside of the crease, I don't know how you can call that goaltender interference. If Backlund was in the crease interfering with him, yes, it is goaltender interference. But outside of the blue paint, if a player is standing there, he's as right to stand there as a goalie is. That one frustrated me. Gaudreau had a breakaway chance late in the first period to try to draw it to 2-1, and good play by Schmidt on the back check to take that away from Gaudreau. Stop the scoring chance. We're 2-0 after the first. The second, Pacioretty scores at the 3:39 mark on the power play, and pretty much look like curtains for the Calgary Flames. Then the 3-on-1 happens, and as they're coming down on Lucic has the puck on a 3-on-1, I'm thinking, dish it, dish it, dish it, hands of stone, and he fires it 5-hole, and we're 3-1, his 8th on the year. He continues to prove me wrong, as I thought Milan Lucic was very, very good tonight. He was very active, huge physical presence out there, and actually, as a team, Calgary outmuscled Vegas, which not too many teams can say. But Calgary manhandled them physically tonight. They were not the better team on the ice, but physically manhandled them. Later on in the period, at the 16:32 mark, Dylan Dubé scores on the power play on a nice pass from Michael Backlund, and we're 3-2. That does end a 13-game goalless drought for Dylan Dubé. I ripped on him last week. I'm very happy to see him get on the board tonight. I thought he was good all night also. The third period, we roll in at 3-2. Matthew Tkachuk at the 17 mark. A third period that was really quiet to start. Then David Rittich made two huge game-saving saves at the 7-minute mark. It looked like the old Rittich was back, and I was so happy for that. And like I said, I'm not blaming Rittich at all on this one. We need a goalie to win a game for us. We just need a goalie to steal a game. Let's get back to the goal. Tkachuk scores at the 17-minute mark, his 23rd. Assist from Mangiapane. And Gustafsson really started this play at 3-on-2 down. Gustafsson made a great play over to Mangiapane. Mangiapane over to Tkachuk. And Tkachuk tips it in the empty net. Then we're looking good. I'm thinking, all right, let's just get this thing to overtime and we'll see what happens. Let's get a point out of this. Let's be happy. Then Shea Theodore scores on a horrible angle that gets over the shoulder of Rittich. I'm not pinning this on Rittich. It did hit off Mangiapane's stick, but Theodore scores his 12th. 4-3 Vegas. Marchessault. God, why did I draw a blank there? He scores at the 1942 mark, an empty netter to seal the deal for the Vegas Golden Knights. And, yep, Vegas beats Calgary again. And that sounds like a damn broken record, and I'm sick of talking about Vegas beating Calgary.
Inside Edge Hockey News is your source for top-notch NHL podcasts, news, and rankings. Check out InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
All right, back to the Flames talk. And let's talk a little bit about the resurgence of that first line. And I harped on this line, and I was very, very hard on our first line all year. I really have been. But I probably need to take a step back, because in the last nine games since All-Star break, they've been very, very good. Their time on the ice for the first line has increased almost 3 minutes a game in the last four games, and it's because they're being effective. Gaudreau has 4 goals, 4 assists, 8 points in the last nine games. Monahan has 4 goals, 3 assists, 7 points in the last nine. And Lindholm, who was driving the ship earlier, has 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points in the last nine games. And that's pretty good production from your first line, and then it's about damn time. It seems like they have more impact on each and every game as of late and are starting to affect the outcome. And it's not just on offense. I feel a bigger push defensively from all three of these guys also, especially Johnny Gaudreau, who I've been more than critical of this year. Now, when I'm talking about this first line, you probably want to throw out tonight's Vegas game, because I was not a masterpiece by the first line by any means. I was not really happy with them. But we're hoping on Thursday they can get back on track and get things rolling. As we talked about it a couple weeks ago on the show, one of the top five keys to this team making the playoffs was production from that first line. And I'm happy because we are starting to get the production we need. And, well, not need. We need it more than we can even state. And we're going to need it when and if we get into the playoffs, too. We cannot afford to have a no-show from our first line in the playoffs like we did last year.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing you inside the game.
All right, Flames fans, let's talk about, is this team going to make the playoffs? And right now, my gut is telling me, yes, they are. I hope I'm right. I hope my gut is right. But there's a lot of other media sources out there that post playoff odds and playoff projections. And I love looking at them because it is so interesting. The first one I want to talk about is a site called Money Puck. And I always look at this one. It's got a ton of good information on there. And I always look at it and I'm like, I always look at it and go, wow, you guys are crazy. But they can back it up, because last year at this time they had St. Louis as the favorite to win the cup, which happened. So who do they have favored to win the cup this year? Yeah, you guessed it. Philadelphia Flyers. No, actually nobody guessed that, did they? Washington second. Interesting. So now all of you, and that's what we talk about here, is the Flames. So everybody's wondering, well, what are the Flames? As of Saturday on Money Puck, the Flames are projected that they would make the playoffs, 85.9% chance of making the playoffs. They have a 44.1% chance of making it to the second round. They have a 20.9% chance of making it to the third round, which it seems really high to me. They have a 10.5% chance of making it to the finals, which to me sounds like I'll take those odds, since we have higher odds than the St. Louis Blues. Figure that one out, huh? And we have a 4.8% chance of winning the Stanley Cup. I'll really take that too, because that's pretty damn good. So I thought, well, we better check another site and get their input. So I pull up The Athletic, which I love The Athletic. I think it's probably the best publication out there to read. And I was pleasantly surprised that they have the odds of the Calgary making the playoffs at 84%, a lot like Money Puck. They have them making the second round a 35% chance. I like my odds there. They have us making the third round 14% chance. And they have us making the finals 5% chance. Now, the Flames only have a 1% chance, according to The Athletic, of winning the Stanley Cup. But you know what? The thing the Flames have going for them is this is in their own hands. Yes, it's fun to look at the standings every day, and it's fun to track it, and it's fun to worry about it, too. That's why we play and watch sports, is for the goods and the bads. But what are the, you know, I always look at the odds and say, well, what are the odds? Like, you know, let's talk Pacific Division. They break it down on The Athletic. They got Vegas having a 47% chance of winning the Pacific. That probably went up after today. They have Edmonton 35%. They have Calgary 13 and Vancouver 4. That surprises me they have Vancouver that low. Now making it to the second round, they have Calgary at 25% like we talked about before. Now, one of the things that I'm excited about this year more than ever when we're looking at making the playoffs is who would we play? Now, we all want to play Edmonton if we're going to win. I don't want to play Edmonton and lose. But so who are the odds most likely to match up? Well, for Calgary, we have a 29% chance of it being Edmonton in the first round. We have a 23% chance of it being Vegas in the first round. And we have a 10% chance of it being Vancouver. Yes, yes, fans, I know we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We have to make the playoffs. But when I pulled up the odds for us to make it, and the odds for us to make it to the second and third rounds, I was pleasantly surprised. We'll see, Flames fans, there is a lot of work to do, and points are at a premium. Thursday night, we need to get back on track, because tonight I feel like we gave away a point.
CoolHockey.com is your number one source for authentic and customized NHL jerseys. Use promo code THPN and receive 25% off your order. CoolHockey.com.
CoolHockey.com. Jerseys online since 99.
All right, Flames fans, a little bit of Flames news. We'll kind of cruise on through that and roll on with the show. Saturday's goal for TJ Brody was his third game in a row with a goal. That is the first time in 9 NHL seasons that he has had a 3-game goal streak. Prior to this goal in the first game, he'd went 37 games between goals. That's a long time for TJ Brody. The Flames have the fourth best record in the NHL since American Thanksgiving. That seems hard to believe sometimes. We are 24-15-3 since that date, 57% win. That's good news. That's why the Flames are still in this race, because they did not have a good stretch early on in the season. Noah Hanifin injured in the first period tonight, Sunday night's game, with an upper body injury. He did not return. He got tangled up with a hit that Lucic put on Peary and probably took the worst of it. Looked to me like maybe concussion, but I'm only speculating. Travis Hamonic took part in his first full practice since being injured February 8th. He'd had prior skated over the last couple days with a non-contact jersey. This was his first practice without that jersey. Jeff Ward commented that he's getting better every day and it's not that far away, his return he is speaking of. Talbot made his 300th career start Friday versus Arizona, gets the win in that game, and Talbot has been very, very good as of late. Rolling into Harvey's Doghouse, we do this edition every Sunday night episode for our podcast that drops Monday morning on the Hockey Podcast Network and FlamesUnfiltered.com. Harvey's Doghouse, and I hate to do it to this guy because he's been so, so good all year, but I'm a little bit worried and frustrated with Derek Ryan's play as of late. He was ill a couple weeks ago, and since then just hasn't got things back on track. Just one assist in his last 10 games. And I know, we don't have Derek Ryan to be putting up a ton of points. But earlier in the year, he was a little bit more consistent on the point scoring. But his impact in the quiet things, to me, hasn't been quite as strong as it usually is. We hope Derek Ryan can get his game back and get back on track, because he is a critical guy in the Flames playoff drive. On a side note, I've been talking about the goaltending, and I've been kind of bitching about it, but we need the goalies to steal a game for this. It's been a long time. Riddick had stolen numerous early in the season, but as of late, it has been tough sledding. Cam Talbot has been very, very good. David Riddick, not so much. He hasn't won a home game since December 12th. Let that one sink in, Flames fans. Yes, December 12th. Rolling on to our fan question of the night. What team do you fear the most in the first round of the playoffs? Well, that's pretty easy, and it's not just because of tonight's game. But, well, first off, I hope we make the playoffs. Thank you for the question. But the team I fear the most is the Vegas Golden Knights. They beat us all three meetings this year, a goal total of 17-5. Yeah, a 6-2 loss in Vegas, followed up by a 6-0 loss in Vegas, which I remember that 6-0 was probably the worst, one of the worst games of the year, and the 6-2 wasn't much better. I was at that one live in Vegas. And tonight I thought was a much better effort, but still came out on the losing end. We have never won a game in Vegas. That would scare me. Almost as much as the Anaheim one did a few years ago. They would be my biggest fear going into the playoffs. Yes, playing Edmonton would scare me. Playing anybody would scare us. I mean, they're all going to be tough tests, because I don't know that Calgary's, you know, going to be favored no matter who they play in the first round. I do think, though, that when you look at a Vegas team and you look at the different categories that we have in hockey, they tend to lead us in almost all the categories, where if you're looking at a team like Vancouver, there's certain aspects I like the Flames better than the Canucks on, and same with the Edmonton Oilers. With Vegas, when I look and break down those aspects, it seems like Vegas comes up on top on all of them, and that scares me. If we get them in the second round, I'll be fine, because, hey, you got to beat the best to be the best. I just would like to see the Flames get a first-round opponent that, you know, honestly, let's just cut the crap. I want to see them play Edmonton or Vancouver. I think it would be fun for the fans. I think it would be batshit crazy. But I also think that those are some teams and matchups that the Flames would do better with and have the potential of moving on to that second round.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Well, this is a part of the show where we usually preview the upcoming games, but you know what? Before our next show, which we record next Wednesday night and drops Thursday, I don't even have a game to preview. The Flames don't play till Thursday night. So we will preview that on our next episode. So while we have a time to talk about it, let's do a little bit of talk on the coronavirus and give our listeners an update on where the National Hockey League stands on that. Yep, it's scary. Some days I think it's being overblown. This is my own opinion. I think it's being overblown, and then the next day I worry about it. I'm not going to lie. I'm taking precautions with hand sanitizers and making some decisions maybe that I wouldn't have made on events that I've altered some of my decision-making because of it. I haven't changed my whole lifestyle. It does seem, though, like things are escalating a little bit with it, and I'm seeing other events being canceled or postponed, and I wonder how long before it affects the NHL even more. Starting Saturday, the NHL closed their dressing rooms to media in an effort to stop the spread of the coronavirus, and media availability will be conducted on an informal press conference. The NHL has also recommended that players all limit their interactions with fans, which is sad, because one of the greatest things about the National Hockey League is the interaction that the players usually have with fans. On Saturday, also, the NHL and Gary Bettman released a coronavirus contingency plan of action. They've asked teams for available building dates later in April in case games have to be postponed. They've also lined up potential neutral site venues in case of only specific regions becoming unsuitable to play and games being having to be moved. They've also discussed playing to arenas that have no fans. Now, this is a worst-case scenario, but it is a real fact now. This has grown. The severity has grown. And as much as we all love hockey and cherish this sport and love to talk about it, watch it, and everything involved with it, we have nothing in this world without our health. It's something that needs to be taken very, very seriously, I believe. And hopefully both the countries of Canada and the U.S. have taken the proper measures to slow and find a way to slow this virus and not have it affect normal everyday life. We will update on future podcasts if things change or how the magnitude of the changes, let's just put it that way. On a better news, let's talk Western Conference playoff update. And it is fast and furious. There is lots of games going on right now that will affect these standings, but I can only give them to you with what I have right now. In the Central Division, St. Louis sits atop with 92 points, Colorado 88, Dallas 82. I think those first three spots are solidified now. In the Pacific, Vegas on top now with 84 points after a win tonight. Edmonton 82, Calgary 79. That's 1-2-3 in the Pacific. Vancouver holds down a wild card position at 76 points. They are losing tonight to Columbus as we speak. Nashville sits at 76 points. Winnipeg at 76 points. And Minnesota at 75. Arizona sits 74. And Chicago hanging by a thread at 70. They've lost two in a row, are probably out of it. Winnipeg has been rolling. They've won two in a row. Nashville's won two in a row. Vancouver is 4-5-1 in their last 10 and has been on the struggle bus since Jacob Markstrom has went down. The playoff races are hot and heavy. If the playoffs started today, yes, you guessed it, Flames fans, we would be taking on the Edmonton Oilers. And I don't know about you. I would love it. I would love it. If that does happen, we've already made plans with our buddies at the Oil Country Podcast. We would be doing podcasts together, and they would be unbelievable. They'd probably be long, too, because I love talking to those guys, Kyle and John. Great guys. Check out their podcast, Oil Country Podcast. Chirp them on Twitter. Do all that good stuff. We will be back on Thursday with another episode on the Hockey Podcast Network. And check us out on flamesunfiltered.com. Enjoy a few nights with No Flames Hockey.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Bruin on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.